Welcome to Blessings from Beulah Street, this weekly program of timeless Southern gospel music and a thoughtful message is brought to you by the Mount Calvary Community Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Along the way, we trust you'll find hope, forgiveness, and resurrection in the music and the message. Let's start this week's program with a tune that tells us what it will be like to live in heaven with Jesus. Here are the Mount Calvary Singers with I'll Live Again on Blessings from Beulah Street.
If some morning I am gone from this vale of tears,
Mount Calvary Community Church Southern Gospel Concert will be on Friday night, December 10th, when we will welcome the King's Heralds for a wonderful holiday concert. The group has been performing at MCCC for many years. This concert, like all of our concerts, is free and open to the public. No tickets are required, but seating is limited. The program begins at 7 p.m. with a mini concert by the Mount Calvary Singers, followed by the King's Heralds at 7:30 for a wonderful evening of song and celebration. Here are the King's Heralds with a beautiful song, Till the Storm Passes By, on Blessings from Beulah Street.
Till the storm passes by.
This is Roger Wallace, and you're listening to Blessings from Beulah Street on WFAX, Christian Radio for the nation's capital.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong.
Through It All, a wonderful song sung by Mount Calvary's associate pastor, Matt Lanham. And it ties in directly with his message today based on 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Pastor Matt poses the question, have we ever stopped to say that through it all, we have a God who cares for us and comforts us?
Through it all. That was a song written by a songwriter that passed away just a couple of years ago, Andre Crouch. One of my favorites, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but have you ever really stopped to think about those words through it all? We look back on even just the last year and a half or so, and we look at all that's happened, and it's easy to look back and say, well, we went through this, and we had this, and we lost this person and that person, and had to give up this and didn't get to do this and that. But have we stopped to say, through it all, we still serve a God who cares, a God who comforts? Paul, who, like I said, wrote over half of the books of the New Testament, writes more about suffering than any other writer in the Bible. In the passage, Paul says more, though, about comfort and suffering than anywhere else in his writings. The word comfort occurs no less than 10 times in its verb and noun form in that scripture that we read this morning. 11 verses. That's one-third of the 31 times that it's used in the New Testament. So out of the entire New Testament, one-third of its use is right here in these 11 verses. And there's a reason for this. If you look back in the history of the time, and when you're studying these passages, you can look back and you study the passage, but you can also study some of the other writings of the time, some of the historians and those things that give you a little background on what's going on. And what we find is that there were critics of Paul who were saying that, well, this guy named Paul is running around saying that he is servant of God, that he is doing all of these things in Christ's name, and yet he has all these sufferings. So clearly he's doing something wrong, something bad, that's causing all of these sufferings. And if he were the real deal, he wouldn't experience so much trouble. Paul's answer is that his abundant suffering and the overflow of comfort that he's given are actually signs that he was a genuine apostle of Lord Jesus. Come as you are when you need comfort, because God is a God of comfort. In verses 3 and 4, we see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. When we read this, one of the translations uses the word praise, and from this word praise, we get our word eulogy, and it means a good word. Paul literally eulogizes God. He speaks a good word about God. It's not uncommon to find people speaking a questioning word about God when they suffer. How many times have you heard someone say, why am I going through this? God, where are you? God, why are you letting this happen to me? Some even speak an accusing word. If God cared, he would not allow me to suffer. If God were truly God, I wouldn't be going through this right now. Many stories are told of people who lost their faith in God after some tragedy entered their life, but Paul's response to suffering was the complete opposite. It was to praise God. Paul learned that God and the Father is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He's not saying that Jesus is less than God. He is saying that they are equal in relationship with one another. What we clearly learn about God is that he is a God of compassion and mercy. I'm reminded of the psalmist that said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and you know the rest. He is the God of all mercy and compassion. He's the God of comfort. And what do you mean, and what do I mean, what do we mean when we say comfort? He's a God of comfort. Paul is talking about a different kind of comfort. Our word for comfort comes from a Latin word that's actually made up of two words that mean with strength. To comfort someone is to literally give them strength. The Greek word that's translated in this writing as comfort gives the idea of relationship. It describes someone literally coming alongside of you, picking you up, taking you along, and helping you along your way. In our hour of need, the God of compassion and comfort sent his son Jesus to be by our side and literally to take our place on the cross. As Jesus was leaving his disciples, his last words were a command. But he didn't stop at the command. The very last words that are recorded are words of comfort when he said, "Lo, I am with you always." He said, "Go and do this," but he didn't stop there. He said, "Go and do this, and I'm going to be with you the whole time and the whole way." The Bible teaches us that the reality of this world, this broken, sinful world that we live in, is a world full of trials and tribulations. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Matthew says from the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's unrealistic to think that we aren't going to face trials. It's unrealistic to think that we aren't going to face difficulties. That kind of thinking sets us up for defeat. Because if you go through life thinking, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out, the second the waves start getting a little rough, the faith that you have is going to be shaken. So not only should we come as you are when we need comfort, because God is a God of comfort, but you need to come as you are when you need comfort. Because as Paul says here, we are to comfort others. We comfort others. In verses 4 and 5, Paul goes on to say this, "He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Paul is literally referring to his own suffering. He certainly was an individual who endured a lot of suffering. He was stoned, he was jailed, he was beaten with rods across the back so many times that he had forgotten the number of stripes. He was betrayed, he was shipwrecked, lonely. Literally lived with a death sentence perpetually hanging over his head. But in all his afflictions, he found comfort in God. The outcome that was that he was able to comfort those who were in any affliction with the comfort that he himself had received from God. No doubt his example was helpful, as was his wise counsel, but we're not Paul. Newsflash. We're not Paul. How can we, in our times of trial and tribulation, share our comfort with others? It's hard enough many times to just realize and accept the fact that God is with us and to claim the comfort and the joy and the promises that he's given. How can we even go a step further and share that with someone else? First, you got to point the hurting to Christ. In verse 5, Paul literally says this. He points to the sufferings of Christ. It refers to the persecution because of his service to Christ. When that occurred, he also received not just the persecution, he received the comfort of Christ. Another way to extend comfort is seen in Christ's actions. Christ was present with us in our world. When you don't know of anything else to do, you don't have the right words, you don't have the right actions, you are completely at a loss for what to do to comfort someone. One of the simplest, yet one of the most powerful things that you can do is to come alongside them. Whether that's in a hospital, sitting beside their bed, simply saying, "Hey, I'm here. I'm here if you want to talk. I'm here to pray. I'm here to read scripture with you, sing a song." If it's wherever they might be, you come to where they are, even if it's just a phone call, if that's all you can do. And you share in their suffering with them. You walk alongside them. As a chaplain, that's what a majority of what my job is to come alongside folks where they are and just simply listen. I do a lot more listening than I do a lot, and then I do giving out advice or giving out counsel, as it might be. Paul goes on to say in verses 6 and 7, he says, "If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so will you also share in the comfort." Paul saw his afflictions and his experience of God's comfort as contributing to the Corinthians' comfort, the very people he was writing to, despite the many ways that they disappointed Paul. You can read the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. You can read all of the things that he pointed out and said, don't do this anymore. I've heard about this that you're doing. Don't do this. They disappointed him many times, and yet he was willing to share with them the comfort that he had been given. Maybe you've heard or read of the letters of Mother Teresa. They were revealed only after her death, and she had actually asked for them to be destroyed. The letters revealed that she carried a secret pain for many years. And at the beginning of her service to God, she had a wonderful fellowship with God's presence. And then that sense of fellowship left her. She asked, "Where is my faith?" When she prayed, she no longer felt communion with God. On the outside, she worked, she served, she smiled, she did all the things that she was famous for, but it was a mask to the inner darkness and the dryness and the pain and the absence that she felt of God's presence. It's been referred to as a dark night of the soul. But she chose not to reject God. A spiritual counselor told her three things that sustained her. There was no human remedy for this darkness. She should not feel responsible for it. The feeling of the presence of Jesus was not the only or even the primary evidence of his presence. In fact, the very craving for God, they told her, was evidence that Jesus was present. And lastly, the pain that she was going through could be redemptive. It could be turned for good. And it was. Some have said that the letters that she wrote that were revealed after her death were truly her last gift to the world. And they've helped to encourage many who are have experienced similar times of darkness and turmoil. I'm reminded of a movie I saw a long time ago about one of my favorite authors. It's a movie called Shadowlands, and it's about the author C.S. Lewis. And he, of course, was one of the most influential Christians of the 20th century. The opening scene of the movie is Lewis giving a lecture on pain and suffering. It's his typical brilliance. And then the movie, however, goes into his life about his marriage and being very much in love. And then it talks about his wife being stricken with cancer and dying and him being devastated by the grief. And the movie closes with him giving that exact same lecture, but it's different this time because there was a comfort in his voice that came across, and it comforted those who heard him. Because he was comforted, he could comfort others. Come as you are when you need comfort, because God is a God of comfort. Come as you are when you need comfort, because we comfort others. And lastly, come as you are when you need comfort, because we trust God. Trouble is inevitable. You can get in a group of individuals, even individuals that you've never met before. You can go around your little group and you can say, well, tell me about some of the things that you've gone through. And inevitably, every single person in that group will have something to share. Some kind of problem. Even if you get a group of people that you think are, whatever you want to call them, super Christians, we all go through it. Paul tells us, however, that through it all, the God that he wrote about so many times, the God that brought him through the shipwreck, that brought him through the prisons, through the beatings, through so many things, not only is a God that brought him through, but it's a God that gave him comfort through it. Never promised that we wouldn't go through the trials, but he did promise to never leave us. Lord, we know that there are times when it seems like we just can't go on. And yet through it all, you've promised never to leave us. Promised never to forsake us. Promised to carry us on through when we couldn't walk and stand on our own. For those that are here this morning, for those that might be watching and listening later, Lord, we don't know exactly what they're going through, but we know that if they trust in you, if they've accepted you for salvation, and if they continue to trust and put their faith in you, that you, the comfort that you gave Paul, that allowed him to, even from prison,
to write words to us telling us about the strength and the joy that you gave. It's the same comfort that we can claim. Whatever the case, Lord, we know that through it all, you're going to help us and strengthen us if we trust in you. Help us to turn to you in those times. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Blessings from Beulah Street from Mount Calvary Community Church, the little church by the side of the road in Alexandria, Virginia. If you have a prayer request, if you'd like more information about the church, or if you'd like to speak with someone at Mount Calvary Community Church, please call us at 703-971-0165. We'd love to hear from you. Mount Calvary Community Church is located at 6731 Beulah Street, in Alexandria, Virginia. You can find live webcasts of our Sunday service on Facebook and find us online at www.mountcalvary.cc. Now, on behalf of Senior Pastor Charlie Wood, Associate Pastor Matt Lanham, Music Director Terry Lee Ryan, and everyone at Mount Calvary Community Church, I'm Roger Wallace. We look forward to having you join us again next week on Blessings from Beulah Street.